Be original.
Let's ride your horse. Yeah.
Be original. Think for yourself. You know, we got to be a little bit quicker with our thinking. This sport is a quick thinking sport, right? If you can't be a quick thinker off of the horse, as far as your tack in fighting what you think is the trend or not, we have a problem. How are you going to think quick on course?
Welcome to Bit by Bit, the podcast for riders hosted by the Farmhouse Tack and AJR Sport. I'm Michelle Drum, e-commerce and marketing director at the Farmhouse and amateur equestrian. With me, as always, is Adam Rittenberg, owner of AJR Bits. Adam, how's it going today?
Everything is going well as usual. And of course, I'm excited to be back and cover more topics, which is really fun. And I know we had a great response from the last series that we did.
Yeah. We've got some great questions today from a few other of our riders. And let's get started.
I think we should start with how to properly fit a bit. I mean, we did have a question about, you know, should there be two wrinkles? Should there be three wrinkles? There's a few ways to answer this question. Some people that fit a bit will say that you should have a pinky's width on either side of the mouth as room for the bit, versus, you know, people will put a size 115 millimeters in a warm blood's mouth and say that it's a good fit, a very snug fit. Now, there are some trends, if you will, and some preferences as well. What I will say is, as long as the bit is not causing discomfort, right? If we're not pinching the lips, you know, causing bleeding, causing rubs, I don't really see a problem with any way that you want to fit the bit, as long as you're not causing the horse discomfort. However, there are certain bits that when I was riding, I would raise them higher up in the horse's mouth, and I would have three wrinkles and sometimes even more than that, just depending on the style of the bit and how I wanted it to work. Now, that's a really technical topic because there's a lot of ways to do something, right? We have to use our own style to make things work for us. When I used, for example, straight, you know, or a Mulin bit, I would typically put that bit a little lower in the horse's mouth just because I found that, and it's very horse dependent, by the way. It's what worked for the horse. The horse liked it. Also, there are horses that are behind, they don't want to search for the bit. And so in order to encourage the horse to search for the bit, I would drop the bit down. I found it to be the same concept with certain bits with certain horses. Let's preface that again. Certain bits with certain horses, not every bit with every horse. There's an application for every, let's say, style or adjustment of fitting a bit. And, you know, you really have to go off of what you think works best for you and the horse. There is not one textbook correct way because not everyone's horse, or every horse rather, is textbook.
One question that was asked a couple of times was about D-bits and whether or not they're just trendy or they're, the deep cheek is actually more functional than, say, a full cheek, loose ring, egg butt. Would you like to elaborate on that at all?
I think that D-bits are very traditional. When we talk about the hunters, I think that's what you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Hunters. It's very traditional. I think that the judging and the way that we perceive how a horse is quote unquote strong or elegant or not is a lot of presentation, especially in that discipline. D bits are functional. They are practical because they do prevent the bit from being pulled through the horse's mouth. They do provide an element of lateral control. They do, you know, have a stable contact and a stable feel. They are useful. They are, you know, they do have a use case. I think we discussed this the last time that a pelham is also not forbidden. That's why I think that you have to really interpret what's best again for you and your horse. I mean, if you're like, you know, my horse hates a D bit, why are you going to use a D bit? If your horse hates a full cheek, they don't like it, you know, on the side of their face, why are you using a full cheek? What are you doing? You're not going to get a benefit of performance. Don't go with the trends.
Don't be afraid to, you know,
be original.
Do what's right for your horse. Yeah.
Be original. Think for yourself. You know, we got to be a little bit quicker with our thinking. This sport is a quick thinking sport, right? It happens in 90 seconds or less, right? If you can't be a quick thinker off of the horse, as far as your tack in fighting what you think is a trend or not, we have a problem. How are you going to think quick on course? Be a quick thinker. Don't follow the trend. Do what's best for your horse. Do what's best for you and do what produces results, because success breeds success.
Exactly. And now, to add to that, is would there be any reason that you think that there might be to maybe switch it up when you're just schooling at home, like just switching up from like a full cheek to from a D to a full cheek or something along those lines?
Like, I do believe in switching bits, and I do believe that horses have different bits for different use cases, depending on the application we're using. You know where I'm getting at with this, right?
Yeah.
So at home, I would school a horse possibly in a stronger bit to get the mouth a little bit nicer. We start with a score of 100. Then we slowly lose points based on how we do or don't do. So if we start with 100 and we decrease, at home, you at best be practicing at 100. Because if you're practicing at 60, you're going to get a 30, okay? So,
well, that's it. That's my problem right there.
Right. Practice.
Once I start nailing 100 at home, y'all are going to have to get out of the way because I'm just going to be beating all y'all.
You better be starting at 100. We start at 100. So I use certain bits at home, also when I'm teaching other people, because it has a use case, it has an application, depends what we're working on, depends what it's for. Maybe I'll put a half twist, half straight bit in one to train it up a little bit if it's starting to, you know, get stronger on one side as a training tool, not as a permanent solution, as a training tool. And then we were at 85% at home, and then we got to like 90, and then at the show we were in the 70s, so that's not good enough, right? So we keep fine-tuning. Now we're at, you know, 100 or 99 at home. So back to the question, which was about different bits, would you switch it up? Yeah, sure. Would I put a gag on a hunter to school it? Sure, if that's what it needs, right? I don't see any problem in switching things up to get a benefit. I'm not saying switch a bit every 20 minutes, get off and change it during the ride. I'm saying use it for a week, use it for 2 weeks, use it for a jump school, use it for 3 jump schools, and put it away.
I'm trying to get it to hold the school. Like, this is what I want you to do. Can you hold it? You know, now that we've learned it.
Right. Education.
Yeah.
It's like the spur. I see all these kids digging those things into the poor horse's side, and it is sad. What we do is we start to desensitize horses, and then we go to bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger and sharper and sharper and sharper because we aren't doing our homework.
Well, it's essentially, he did what you asked.
Right. Don't punish a horse for doing what you're asking them to do. I see riders do it all the time. Anyway, you know, so if we teach the horse to go forward, or we teach the horse to slow down, for example, at home with a bit, okay, and we use a loose rein. And every time that horse, you pass 2 degrees with your hand, you aim them right at that arena wall. Aim them right at it. Now, one of two things is going to happen. And as a rider, you have to be tough enough for the outcome. One, he's going to jump through the wall and smack his head and sit down like a dizzy puppy dog. Or he's going to slow down and turn one way, and you're going to have to be strong enough to stay on. Or three, you're going to fall off, but that's your own problem for not being sturdy. Now, if you do it enough times, right, meaning you never pull stronger than 2 degrees of hand, and everyone's 2 degrees is different. But if you keep ramping it up with the loose ring, right, well, you're already desensitizing the horse. You're going to have to go to something stronger and stronger. So I would downplay it. I would use the loose ring. I would start at the walk, and I would put my hand forward at the wall. And if the horse doesn't stop and he runs into it, that's his problem, not mine. I gave him the signal. No problem. And then I would do it at the trot and aim, let's say, at a jump standard on the side, not towards the jump to teach him to stop, at the side. I'd find different things in the arena to aim the horse at to teach him to slow down. I had a horse, Grand Prix horse of mine, wonderful animal. Sadly, he was retired, but he was the biggest 2x4x4, 8x8, whatever you want to call him. He was a train. This thing was just absolutely, you want to know what strong is? Sit on top of that. He was 18 something. He was huge. This horse was dinosaur. And he was a Cantargos Chocoblue. Big, powerful, soapy, good luck staying on. He was a machine. And this horse wasn't so clever, which is actually what made him such a great horse, because he was so brave. Except brave doesn't always mean the most careful, right? There's the fine line. Part of yes. What makes a horse careful is when they're a little bit afraid. So,
yeah.
You know, anyway, this horse, when I tell you I aimed him at more walls and he smacked his head up against that more times than I could imagine, he's like a zebra. He forgets his training the next day. But eventually, I slowly chipped away at the icebergs, patiently, slowly, repetition, every day, the same thing. I would start the same way and I would end the same way, the exact same way every single day. He would do the same exact thing over and over until he understood it. But guess what? That horse turned 8. I got him at 6. And he jumped his first 2-star breaking class clear, you know, right when he turned 8. And so he went from this big, long, awkward horse to this really, really desirable horse.
Let's move on to the next question. Are there any bidding myths out there, like broad standard bidding myths out there that you just want to just debunk altogether?
I'm very careful when I address certain concerns like this. The reason is because opinion and science are two different things, right? So when we talk about debunking myths, when we talk about that topic, it's a really sensitive. So I will preface this by, this is my opinion. You're free to use and value it, or you're free to not. With that said, I do believe that single joint bits do create a nutcracker effect. I think that we've spoken about this maybe almost in every episode, because I truly do believe that. It's my opinion. If you take a bit with a single joint and you simply move it, I mean, it does what it does, right? The last thing I would say about, because we can go on for 3 hours about myths and facts, but the last thing I would say is that people believe that certain materials change the outcome of the horse's performance. Now, I do think to an extent it is true, but at the end of the day, if working for your horse, the same bit should also work in another material, unless you have a horse that really does not tolerate like stainless steel. You know what I mean? Then obviously a horse that has a paramouth, you're not going to, you know what I mean? Without exceptional circumstances, it should in general work with all material.
Yeah, I have a horse who prefers a mullein mouth bit, period. Like always has, he has a very soft mouth and he prefers a happy mouth or a steel tex. He'll go in stainless steel, but he will play with the bit a lot more just because it's heavier, I guess, in his mouth. And he just finds something to play with when he has steel in his mouth. So, it's not that he won't go. Is he happier in plastic or rubber? Yeah, absolutely. But he'll go in stainless. I mean, that's the only reason why I have a stainless form is because he's done a couple of George Morris clinics. And I know that at the time, George was very anti happy mouth. So I was like, well, you're going to go in stainless.
So while we're talking about material, it's really interesting. We had two questions. Would I advise against rubber bits and the benefits of leather bits? So let's start with the rubber. Why would I go against using a rubber bit? Well, obviously, if you have a horse that is extremely strong, even if you have taken the necessary steps to try to reduce his strength through technique, I would advise against using a rubber bit. I do not think that would serve any purpose whatsoever besides irritating both parties.
Well, let me ask you this. Vulcanite versus rubber, like what is the difference?
That's a really good question. So I'm referring to rubber, the actual material rubber. I'm not referring to vulcanite. Vulcanite is completely different. It's compounded with sulfur and other elements to create a harder material.
Is it more like a resin?
Not a resin. So vulcanite is heated, treated, and mixed in a very specific way to be a very hard rubberized material. That doesn't mean it's rubber. It's rubberized.
Gotcha.
Right? But it is mixed with sulfur and some other stuff to create a harder mouthpiece, which we just redid our vulcanite material altogether. We just created the compounds because we were using something that is vulcanite, but it was too dense. And we used something to soften it up so that it was more durable long term. Gotcha. So those will be coming to your store hopefully very soon.
So would you say that the vulcanite's probably like a harder, like maybe more robust surface? Would that be the way to describe that?
Well, because vulcanite has a smooth finish, rubber has some pores in it and creates that eraser effect. Vulcanite does not. It's completely smooth, right? So yes. There is a big distinction. I think I showed you that when I was in try-on.
Or yes, you did.
You saw the bit, rather, however, and you could see there's a very clear difference between rubber, which if you run your finger on, gets kind of stuck as you move it around. Right?
It's got some give, a little bit of give to it. The last question we have for today is going to be, leather bits are gaining in popularity. What are the benefits? And I want to elaborate on that, I guess maybe take it a step further and be like, let's break it down between, like, incorporate what we just talked about, which is the vulcanite, the rubber, and the leather. Where would you draw the line on each of those?
Leather is a natural material, right? So it produces a certain taste, a certain flavor in the horse's mouth, which mares, I think we spoke about this also before, enjoy specifically. Mares enjoy it. And it really increases the saliva production. They mouth it. They find it relaxing. And leather is really gentle. So I love leather bits. Do I think they're gaining popularity because they're a trend? It's possible. Do I think that they serve a purpose in our sport? Absolutely.
Very well be. People are discovering the value of a leather.
So one thing about leather bits that I really want to explain is we have different types of leather, right? The way it's treated, the way it's fixed and stitched, the way it's processed, in which animal it comes from. So we have to be very clear when we refer to leather bits gaining popularity, what kind of leather are we talking about, right? And what type of leather bit? How is it stitched and where? Because there are, in fact, many different versions of a leather bit. We use a flat stitching technique, a non-abrasive stitching technique. Some brands, they stitch the bit with a lip. Now, the problem with a ridge or a lip is that it's sharp, especially as leather hardens when we use it, when it gets wet and it dries and wet and it dries and wet and dries. That becomes sharp. So the reason I stitch mine the way I do, flat, non-abrasive, and the leather is very soft and supple. I think you felt my leather bits as well. Very soft bits is because we don't want to create irritation in the horse's mouth and we do not like sharp edges.
Yeah, because it's going to irritate.
It's going to irritate. It's going to piss them off. So, or it can cause harm, which we don't want.
All right. I guess we're going to wrap it up. Is there anything else you have to add that you want to touch on today? Or
no, I think we touched it all.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today and for listening. And let us know what you think about this week's topic, or if you have a question that we haven't answered, we'd love to know what it is. Just go ahead and leave us a comment on YouTube or send us a message on one of our social media pages. We'd love to answer it or maybe visit it in another show. So until next week, we'll see you back next week.
Sounds good. See you next week.
See you next week.